You're not my real dad. We're talking all about chicken rental and atypical or less common relationship configurations
today. And attachment.
Attachment, sure.
But attachment applies to all your relationships, romantic, non-romantic, more traditional, non-traditional.
Monogamous and thereafter.
Turns out your relationship with your attachment figures in childhood affects all your relationships all the time. So we'll talk with Jessica Fern about that. She's a psychotherapist and the author of Polysecure. And yes, we will also be talking with Jen and Phil Tompkins from Rent the Chicken. So that's like, you want to raise chickens, but you're not 100% sure you know what you're doing. They come and set everything up for you. And then if you decide it's all been a terrible mistake, they'll come and take the chickens away. But more often than not, you fall in love with the chickens and you keep them.
Do you love delicious eggs? Have you never heard of a grocery store? Do you have commitment issues and don't want to own a bunch of fowl? Then you could just rent the chicken. That's what we're talking about today on the Backpack Show.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to the Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gargone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
You make it sound very seedy, I must say.
Chicken. Oh my gosh. Look at my dad right out of the gate with his comment. I call foul.
Oh, I see the resemblance.
Oh, I don't know about you. It's my biological father right there, Steve Brogan, his wife of at least 50 years, Diane Brogan.
Your mother, also known as your mother.
Oh, my mom. Yeah. Also true. Elizabeth down in Texas. Tejas, nobody would call it.
Who just got a whole bunch of free sausage courtesy of Johnsonville.
Well, if you want some fresh eggs to go with that free sausage, have we got a site for you? Rent the Chicken. I'm excited to talk to both guests. I mean, there's a lot we've got to ask. Jessica Fern, I had begged on because she has an incredible cool book called Polysecure. She does relationship work with people and helps with, again, atypical or non-traditional kind of relationship situations. Like, what if you want more than one partner in your life? It's going to be some fun chatting today. Hi, Chloe, over in Scotland. I just put up a post on Twitter for you, Chloe. It is Mel Gibson saying when Sean Connery gave him pronunciation and Scottish advice. And the very first word that Sean Connery tried to teach Mel Gibson was goulash. Now all you have to do is close your eyes for a second and think of Sean Connery saying the word goulash and your morning is made.
I'm just thinking those lessons didn't take.
Goulash. Oh my God, she's the worst.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Very award successful Len Joy author has joined us to watch.
Let Len have his book over on my shelf right there.
Jessica, you get an extra 10 minutes or so because we're starting with chickens today. So we're going to grab Phil and Jen and come on and let's talk birds.
All right then, if you insist.
You know, look at the energy. I love it.
Oh, just wait. You think that you're the king of like bad jokes?
Oh, this is going to be a day.
This is going to be amazing.
There's a lot of different jobs and professions and roles you can have. Chicken rental. What the heck? What started that?
Yeah, well, I needed a job, and so here we are.
Lots of people need a job.
And they go to apply like Kroger.
It's like, you know what
I'm going to do? I bet there's a bag of chickens and start handing them out to people and say, now give them back.
I bet there's people want some chickens. Do you get like a receipt or something? Like, how do you know you're getting the same chickens back? I have so many questions.
Maybe we should provide like a return. An RA.
What if there's more chickens when you come to get them? Because you know chickens.
Oh yeah, that's not a thing because that's biosecurity, and then they become permanent chicken owners at that point if they add extra fowl to their fowl.
I mean, like, what if the chickens make more chickens? That's what eggs are supposed to do.
Oh, that's not a thing. So yeah. Okay. No, so here, oh, I knocked my water.
I have so many. Okay, let's start out with the easy part. Who are you for? Like, who? What do you
do? Who buys this?
Yeah.
Right. So
who wants this?
For people who want to have a food source closer to their table, or we're for people who are
education.
Looking for something to do at home when they're not going very many places, you know? So our market shifted a little in the last year because different people weren't vacationing. And so they were staying at home and they wanted something to do at home, but they also have always wanted to try this really great thing, but plan to travel again in the future. And so here we are, Rent the Chicken.
Rent the Chicken. Even chicken need a vacation.
But you, yeah, you can like Disney. You can chicken sit. Like if I get the chickens and then I'm like, wait, I want to go to Disney World. You'll come watch them for me.
Well, kind of. They can bring the chickens back to us for a short time. Yeah. And we'll watch them. Yeah,
we'll have an extra coop.
Yeah. Watch them for me. Yeah.
So yeah, so it's not like kids where you got to take them because you
know, right. Just, we don't have a room for kids.
No.
No, that's a whole other business.
Sad. Model. You know, you should think about
so
it.
So many questions. So. So people who used to like go do those ceramic painting parties, they'll just grab a bunch of your chickens for a few months. Is that a thing? Like, does that like
for a few well, kind months?
Of, yeah. So it's 6 month rental and we bring a chicken coop with the hens. Oh, to answer your question, they don't make more babies because we don't provide a rooster. So
like crying.
Girls still produce an egg without a boy.
Although you were talking about some kind of poly something, multiple partners. Well, one rooster services 8 hens.
So you thought we wouldn't have anything in common.
Is that like on a slow day or like a Friday night? Like what are we looking at?
Every day. That guy is busy. So we don't rent roosters. They're allowed. They're not required for the egg laying process for our hens.
We've been making jokes about the inventory scenario, like inventory management, but that's real. You mentioned something really important. You talked about, you know, biosecure and all the health things that go along with keeping this together, because by spreading them across the way and then bringing them back, you risk something. You know, if other fowl are in with yours or other animals of any kind are in with yours, you know, you could have a challenge there.
Coach Woodard is already, he's so funny.
Oh,
he's like, well, do you have to return the chickens to the same location?
We actually come pick them up, so you don't have to.
Yeah, there's no transport necessary. Wow. Yeah, and each of our locations that we have across the United States and Canada provide their own chickens with a portable chicken coop and the feed for the rental. And so
it's
connected to their farmer source.
But it's not like Redbox is what you're saying. Like, you know, you,
you don't walk up and just like, boop. No. Okay, although we have a hatching program where you can hatch chickens at your house. So we bring an incubator, and then we've got 7 eggs, and it takes 21 days for them to hatch. We also provide a candling light that you shine up to the egg. It's almost like an ultrasound. And you can see the baby chicks moving and growing and developing. And then 21 days later, they hatch. You keep them for 2 weeks. And then when they start to smell and the kids are not paying any more attention to this and it becomes work for you, we take everything back to the farm.
Wow. Do they imprint on the first person they see like we see in all the movies?
They do. And ducks, we even hatch ducks. Ducks will imprint even more on people.
But they're okay. Even after we pick them up, we take them back. They'll imprint again. It all works out.
They're amazing.
Do people ask for specific breeds of chickens to rent, or do you do a basic barnyard chicken? Leslie, I don't know what a basic barnyard chicken is.
We have a
That's the one that wears Uggs and drinks pumpkin spice lattes.
We have a variety of breeds, and sometimes they are barnyard mix, and we call those specialty chickens.
Do you have to replace missing inventory?
Yeah, well, so let me ask my question that I got cut off by Coach.
Sorry,
Five Jacket Man cuts me off because Carrie goes, blah, question.
He never makes jokes like that, so I was giving him
not that. I have a very important question. Inventory management, which is kind of what my dad said, there's a bunch of thoughts in that. One is like, you know, knowing that you really got your hen back, are these things tagged, are there chips, is there there's a lot of people putting their animals on the blockchain now, not even a joke. Is any of that stuff in there? How are you managing the inventory of this operation? Sure.
So typically our renters, they rent for a season, and most people, they either fall in love with chickens and they keep them, or at some point they chicken out and we take everything back. For those that want to keep the chickens over the winter, but they're not ready for that first winter, we will put a leg band on them and we will keep them safe and secure at our compound. And then in the spring, we'll bring them back. So they will be tagged and labeled. And believe it or not, there are some people that absolutely know which chicken is theirs. And if you bring the wrong chicken, they will tell you.
Debbie says we don't have chickens because fear of snakes. Is it a real concern?
It's not a real concern.
The chickens will eat the snakes.
I mean, depending on the size of the snake. And snakes do like to eat the eggs, but because of how our coops are set up, they're portable. You move the coop once a day. Not that the snakes can't find, but they're not an attraction. If you see snakes when you have chickens, the snakes were there before you had the chickens.
Debbie's in Texas, which is rattler country. So it might be slightly meaner snakes than maybe others. So.
Yeah. Well, we do have somebody that delivers in Central Texas, delivers to Dallas, Fort Worth, down to Austin.
And Houston.
And Houston. We have yet to lose a chicken down there to a snake.
Wow.
Wait a second.
I mean, every day's a new day.
Wait a second.
You didn't know that there were multiple places from which you could rent the chicken?
You are franchising the chicken situation?
Yes, we're in about 30 states and 3 Canadian provinces. We can deliver from Tucson, Arizona to Atlanta, Georgia, up to British Columbia, Alberta, Ontario, all over the place.
We do have Canadians watching right now who maybe would like some chickens. Ooh. Carol Allerly.
Sold out in Ontario, but we do have availability in other regions still.
Okay, so way more questions. So, are you like a legit franchise? Meaning, have you gone through the whole process? You license, you sell a franchise license, or do you just kind of show people how to do this and they're part of your network?
So we're an affiliate program, and our farmers subscribe to our services. So, what we do is we answer all the inbound phone calls for sales and support.
Unless we're live, then we don't.
Yeah, right now they're going to voicemail right now. But
they have an urgent chicken question. Pick up the phone, Phil.
They can text us. We get texts like in the middle of the night about somebody's chickens or they're hatching or something like that. And they legit have a chicken emergency and we help them out.
I had no idea there were so many terrible things that could happen to a chicken, but there are.
People are just concerned. They're just not sure.
Especially during the hatching program, you know, they always like, hey, my chick is starting to come out. There's something. Should I do anything? And basically we just say, hey, wait it out. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, there wouldn't be chickens right now if it was that hard. Like, there wouldn't be chickens. So, like Chris was asking, how formal is the arrangement that you have with these other chicken providers around the country?
Sure. We have an agreement with each of these farmers, and there's some standards that they follow. And if anybody's listening and they want to join our program, you can go to rentthechicken.com on the right-hand side. Look for the affiliate link because we're still looking for farmers. We don't have anybody in California right now. We'd love to have somebody in California.
There's a whole lot of people thinking about switching jobs after the pandemic, too. We read study about marketers in particular that were interested in switching jobs or quitting jobs. And I'm like, hey, get some chicken.
Chicken renter is a thing.
Chicken renter is a thing. You can be a chicken tender.
A chicken tender. Oh,
I told you.
It's right there. You can see it.
He saw it. He plucked it and he served it to you. Yes, he did.
He's always cracking us up.
Elizabeth had a question. It's sort of like a Jurassic Park style question. Can the chickens turn into roosters if there's no rooster?
Oh, well, let's talk about that. So, like, we're humans and Phil's a man and I'm a woman. And then there's chickens. And when they're hatched, they're boys and girls. So a chicken, yes, can become a rooster.
They don't.
But they can become a hen. Because chicken is a chicken. It's both genders. So I guess chicken is gender neutral. And hen is a girl chicken and rooster is a boy chicken. But they don't switch. Once they find their identity, they are secure in their identity.
There are some animals on this planet that the temperature of the egg can determine the sex when they're born. I think frogs are like that. But chickens, the sex of a chicken is determined at fertilization.
So the temperature, that's interesting. Wait, I just saw a cat. One sec.
Hey, Chris, buddy. Feline invasion coming your way. Hit the floor, man. Hit the floor.
So with this new camera, this secret arrangement has finally been made available for people to see. But Goofus here comes up and says, you could scratch my chin if you'd like. During the show sometimes. And this keeps her from putting her butthole right in the screen.
I can't believe there's not been a catwalk here.
My kitty's sleeping.
I don't know
right
where
now.
She is.
Oh.
They could talk to each other. That'd be the whole show. I would sit for that. Watch it.
Coach Woodard asked the question if these are fryers or layers. Obviously, it's renting the chicken.
Hey, you only have dinner from a chicken, but you can have breakfast every morning.
Right.
Right. Do you have chickens available in Maine?
We have a location that's in southern New Hampshire that can deliver to Maine, depending on which part of Maine.
Southern Maine, not even real Maine. He lives in fake Maine.
He lives practically in New Brunswick.
Well, the other way.
He lives down.
Like, almost practically in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, this is it. All right, Rob. Are you going to chicken Rob out? Chip says, I'm too chicken to change jobs.
and Phil, as you noted, his last name is Hatch.
Yes.
Yeah, he's ready.
He's ready.
Debbie says, we have 5 roosters that were dropped off. So sad someone did this to these roosters. Any advice? Yeah, get some hens. You need like 40 hens.
40 hens.
You'll be set. And that, my dear, is what we call chicken math.
Rentthechicken.com.
Yeah, this is a question I had too, because I live in a loft. I mean, can I just put a couple of those babies in here somewhere?
Oh, it's an outside project, so you do need some space. But with our portable coops, we recommend at least 100 square feet, whether it's 10 by 10 or like 3 by 35 or whatever that may be, just so the coop can be moved. That allows the chickens to always have fresh grass and bug access and makes it so there's not a buildup of droppings. It helps keep the odors down.
Chip is asking, can cats and chickens be friends?
Oh, yeah.
I think cats love chickens.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
There's so many questions, just like Pokemon eggs. Dad, they also have incubator machines. So if you didn't catch that, they can actually hatch your eggs for you.
Yeah, we've got 25 incubators just in Western Pennsylvania alone. We're delivering those out every 6 weeks.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
It's puns galore.
There's so many things popping on the screen. I'm trying to keep up with.
Oh, you don't have to. No. We'll ask you any real questions. They're mostly jokes. Eggs like Rob jokes. Hatch saying he lives in Massachusetts. So.
Yeah, like Pennsylvania, but different.
Right. So some of them I want to display, but it's not like, hey, stop the presses. Rob made a joke. You know what I mean? But I did it for Coach Woodard because it was a really good one and it's so unusual for him. He's very dry sense of humor.
Another thought I was having is you mentioned about the educational aspect. You mentioned just like people want it for fresh eggs and all that sort of a thing. I mean, there are just so many applications to this. And you mentioned ducks. You mentioned you had some ducks on the go. I really want to make a lot of bad jokes about, like, you know, our marmosets next or something like that. But are you thinking of extending the franchise, or do you just have a lot to cover with chickens?
Well, I've got this idea, and Homestead Jen won't let me do it.
I never know what he's saying. I don't know where he's going ever when he says. Yeah, I just want you to know. Like, we already rent chickens, and we do hatch the chicken, and we do some other things, but, like.
Let's
try it, Phil.
We're hatching this stuff, right? So why not do a turkey hatch, right? And we can call the program Hatchet to Hatchet.
Oh my gosh.
You think it's a bad business model?
This is for sadists.
People want to know where their food's coming from, but not really. They're not going to want to raise their turkey only to eat. I mean, that's where turkey comes from. And people are okay to, like, go to the turkey farm and pick up their processed turkeys. But not everybody's quite there. They're not quite there with their food.
Don't judge my hobbies, Jen. All right? I don't judge yours.
Hatchet to Hatchet might be coming to a town near you.
Chip says, be sure to know your local zoning rules before having chickens. In my town, you need at least 1 acre, and roosters are not allowed. Well, that just seems mean.
Legalize backyard hens.
You know, chickens are allowed in New York City. You can have chickens in Manhattan if you ask for.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seems like a Muppet Show plot. Yeah. It really does. Everyone's scrambling around for puns.
Your dad is so funny.
Sharpens hatchet.
You know what? If I want to return him, Jen, can I? If I have the right tag, can I return him to the chicken
rent
farm?
The dad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dad. If I'm from your dad, maybe you should just keep him.
Oh, all right.
You know what? He is the perfect dad for you. Like, I see where you came from.
All right. Listen, exactly. We have to transition. We keep talking to you the whole show for sure.
Don't go away, though. Stay there.
Well, I'll be checking my chicken tender app.
I'm pushing this button on you. Boop. All right, you're backstage. I have to read a couple ads, and then we're going to grab Jessica Fern.
There's so many chicken questions. Like, we're going to have to come back to the chicken questions. Bob Collins says, keep him penned up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they're going to love this. We're sponsored by StreamYard. Look at my duck. cbrogan.me/streamer. That's a mallard right in front of my house. cbrogan.me/streamer. You can make your own show. You just have to rent your own chickens. cbrogan.me.
They do interviews on their Facebook. You should go check out Rent the Chicken on Facebook. They do interviews with people who have the chickens right now.
And well, if you thought that was great, you can even get peas. If you are a podcaster, you can host your podcast on Castos. Castos.com is a great place for podcasting. So make yourself heard there. It's a great podcast.
Finally get it. Thank you for explaining.
All this time. Why peas? So if you want a .online domain, like who wouldn't want, Choke the Chicken, which is another, it's like S&M for birds. cbrogan.me/online, you can get your own online domain for $1 for the first year. One U.S. dollar. Or, as a chicken would say, just $1.
Buck. So Phil said he had to check his Chicken Tender app, and Bob says it's better than the Chicken Tinder app.
But at least you can swipe right 8 times on Chicken Tinder.
Eight? I think 64. Rooster, you know what the odds are on
one
that?
One rooster to chicken.
Pretty so slim.
I get it. I'm up on it.
You could have a couple of Saramas to live in your apartment, like the world's smallest chicken, says Leslie.
World's smallest chicken.
Why chicken coops have 2 doors? Otherwise, they'd be chicken sedans.
I need Jessica Fern now. I need Jessica Fern. This has to end. Oh, no. We did not mean to do this to you. We did not know we have so much fun with chicken shenanigans.
I want to know if Phil and Jen can send chickens to Costa Rica.
We'll find out.
Costa Rica. They're going to start the.
Tell us in the private chat.
Right.
We'll send them.
Oh, man.
All right. Jessica. We have you here for a whole other reason. No birds required. No birds required. You wrote a book that caught my attention. I thought it was really interesting. It's a relationship book. So really, people, we're switching. Oh, my gosh.
Switching gears.
More of a 90-degree segue.
Oh, is that so?
That's
very interesting. I wonder if maybe it's unrelated to what we've been doing.
And this question comes from Inside the Big Yard at Folsom County Prison.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. I'm bringing it up on screen. That's why I'm falling here. So we wrote a book called Polysecure, which is about attachment, trauma, and consensual non-monogamy.
That's right.
You're a relationship expert. One of the things that you started running into, I think is the way I understood it anyway, was that not only were you getting a lot of questions about your standard right down the middle, two people relationship, but also people who are approaching you with some different configurations. I need more than one partner to feel happy, or I feel like I love this person, but I love this person. What do I do about that kind of bananas? I have to imagine there's a real difference between you dealing with this in private practice. The door's closed. No one's going to talk about it.
That's right.
All the way out to putting a book about it, because now you're a freak, right? You know what I mean? Like the energy that goes with putting that book out is huge. How many conversations did it take for you to say, I'm going to make this really part of my identity as far as what I cover? And then I read your story inside the book. So I know how it like impacted you personally.
Yeah.
But I just mean we have a lot of business owners here who say, I'm worried people are going to know that I have ADD. This is a little different than that, but talk about that for a second.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too many conversations. I think there was a point I realized, I have to be public about this. There's so many people that need this to be out there more, people that are struggling, that want people who are out there talking about it. And here I am, I can do it, and I didn't have some of the consequences that other people would have. I'm not going to lose my job. I'm not going to lose my family from it. So in that way, I think I was in a very privileged position to say, I can step forward and talk about this openly.
So talk to people about what this is. What is it?
Yeah, this is people exploring non-monogamy, consensual non-monogamy, where they're having romantic or sexual relationships with more than one person. And it's not cheating, right? Everyone knows and everyone's consenting to it.
So in this scenario, again, the most important point of this is consensual non-monogamy. This exactly. is not my significant other has cheated on me. This is, you know,
exactly.
hey, I kind of think I want to be with some other people, but I really still want to be with you. It's an amazingly challenging conversation to have with any human being. Mm-hmm. In the newer world with like swiping right and all this kind of thing, in some ways it feels like it's a little more out there and open, but I feel like so many people's brains are super hardwired to only consider or contemplate monogamy. How do those first conversations happen for a lot of people when they decide this is the deal?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they just feel like it's who they are. They actually feel like this is their orientation. They're trying monogamy. They don't feel like they're good at it, or it doesn't feel like it's right for them. And it is sort of this coming out process to them. We're like, I think this is who I am, and I love you, but I need this other thing as well. Can we do it? You know, and for some couples, they already started off saying, yeah, let's be swingers. Let's occasionally have sexual play with other people. This is fun. This is a part of us. And then that's sometimes the gateway into actually having like full on other partnerships. Yeah. But usually it's one partner who's bringing it up if we're talking about people who are already monogamous.
So Carol goes right to the dark side. There must be times when this goes horribly wrong. No?
Of course. Yeah. And that's in many ways why I wrote the book. I think the myth is that it is all a disaster. It is all dramatic, and that's not true. So just to debunk that myth that many people are doing this really well, like really beautifully. But, you know, as a therapist, I would see people come to me who are just struggling. Like they felt like this is who they are. They really want to do it. And they're like, why is this so hard? And the answer wasn't just, we'll just go back to being monogamous. Right? That wasn't the solution for them. And so I really honed in on, oh, there's all these attachment challenges that are coming up as you're in a different relationship paradigm that you didn't really have to face in monogamy. And so when we like look at our attachment wounds or insecurities, either individually or in the relationship, that can really make a big shift and make this possible, this way of living.
But those same attachment problems, they affect your relationships, even monogamous relationships, work relationships, friendships.
Absolutely. Family, right. All of it.
So if you don't get what you need, you know, developmentally, then you develop a style that could kind of cripple you for relationships generally. Then you add a whole bunch more relationships and it's going to look worse.
Yeah, it becomes harder, right? And a lot of times people can use monogamy to get their security. Right. And then when we're not monogamous, I don't have that structural security anymore. And then a lot of this can get exposed. Yeah.
That's the thing is I just realized this just now. I was thinking it's a lot like entrepreneurship. So mm-hmm. in entrepreneurship, I get my money from lots of different sources, which to me is security. A lot of people think of their job as security, where that's I right. think that's terrifying. A job yeah. is one entity says I eat or don't eat, whereas I have the choice of having multiple people pay me across the space. So I had never really kind of put that. I've been an entrepreneurial mind for 20 or more years.
Totally.
It would stand to make sense that I would maybe also not feel super secure in a monogamous environment. There are books that have come before this, you know, probably the grand mommy of all these books would be The Ethical Slut,
yes.
Which it had a lot more to bear on it than that, because it was also just talking about people dealing with, they weren't matching society's view of what, you know, people mm-hmm. should be like, you know,
yeah.
you have to pretend not to really want sex. You have to pretend that, you know, sex is just for procreation. Like there's all these, you know, religious burdens that get thrown on top of it. Then 2010 comes Sex at Dawn, which is this groundbreaking pile of information and research that says, you know, maybe there's more to this than, you know, what you think is real. And it really debunked a lot of things that a lot of people consider the bedrock of sexual knowledge.
Yep.
I many times went, what? Like, I really, things I thought were rote were absolutely mm-hmm. Back on the menu. And now you've added to this. Do you feel like the burden or the weight of having your book be kind of alongside these other books that have changed so many people's lives?
I don't feel the burden of it. It doesn't feel that way. I mean, if anything, it's been really wonderful and powerful. You know, just, I didn't predict what would come afterwards. I didn't put a lot of thought into that. And it's been a surprise to just see how many emails I'm getting every day that say, thank you for this. You've given you know, language to what I've been going through, or you gave us a way to practically heal this together and do this. So that's been, it hasn't been a burden, other than I need an assistant to help me with emails. But
Elizabeth had a question about how you stay emotionally detached. Oxytocin is usually binding to sexual partners. Well, first of all, I don't think that's necessarily, you're not trying necessarily to stay emotionally detached. No, and you're not necessarily having sex with everybody either.
Exactly. So there's many, so non-monogamy is an umbrella term, and there's many different ways to do it. Same thing with entrepreneurship, right? What does that look like? Many different ways. So there are some people that are non-monogamous that it is more sexual non-monogamy, and other people who are like more polyamorous, it's about falling in love and really having multiple partners. Sometimes there's sex, sometimes there's not, right? So yeah, some people are stepping into let's bond, let's have our oxytocin and the attachment hormones together. And then some people, you know, when they're sexually non-monogamous, I don't think it's that they're detached necessarily in a bad way, but they have a different relationship to love and sex than other people do.
Right? And some people who are withdrawing actually want connection and attachment, but yes, their style is, I forget what you call them, disorganized or insecure attachment styles.
Yeah, the insecure is three variations. So it's anxious, it's dismissive, or disorganized, which is kind of a combination of the two.
Where in any case, they really want that attachment, but the way that they've been brought up, it doesn't work out, or they don't feel comfortable asking for it or having mm-hmm. those needs. So they kind of yeah. push them away.
Yeah.
I personal sharing time. I went and saw a shrink after my marriage was coming apart at the seams, and I went there saying I might even be a sex addict. I don't know. I'm wired really different than other people, mm-hmm. and you know I came in there almost eagerly waiting for him to say you are such a wrong person and a bad person. Here we go. Hi, Todd. But he says, you know, he goes, what if the only thing you ever did wrong was you didn't really explain super clearly what it was you wanted? What if maybe your biggest problem was you just weren't communicating clearly for your needs? You weren't setting your borders very well. And of course, then you were, you know, kind of spilling over into other people's challenges and whatever. And that changed my life because I went, yeah. Oh, yeah, what if I just like told people this is what I want? Yeah. But I have a problem with that. I'm not trying to like pay for an hour of your therapy on screen here, but. I find when I communicate ridiculously clearly about what I want, people don't hear it if it doesn't match what they want or if it doesn't yeah. match what they've experienced thus far. So I'm throwing that out because I feel like this is the crux of some of what you covered in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think being upfront right away that you want non-monogamy is something you should have on your like dating profile, right? It should come up in your first date, because if someone doesn't want that, it's going to be very painful. It's going to be a mismatch, right, of desires and expectations. And so I would be cautious, right? If someone says, oh, I'm okay with that, and they've never had any experience, they've never had any desire for it, and really saying, do you really get what this is, you know? So yeah, there's one poly expert who sort of talks about like date your own species, like date other people who want this, and wow, it goes so much easier.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Carol's question, do people establish ground rules when
they do they?
Yes, they do. Relationship agreements. So a lot of people don't want to call it rules per se, but they call them agreements or principles that we are agreeing to. And that is a very important part of what are our boundaries, what are expectations, you know, whether it's how much communication we have, how much information we share with each other, or what are our safe sex practices, right, and protocols. So yeah, there's a lot of agreement making in non-monogamy. And it's interesting because a lot of monogamous folks could really benefit from that level of intention and communication. Right?
That, what you said was, I was getting ready to jump on and say, hey, yeah. wait a minute here.
Yeah.
In plain old straightforward, I'm only going to be with you for the rest of my life relationships, there's been less communication about sexuality, I feel, a lot of times, than in these, you know, where the freaks all are. I think the freaks tend to talk about it straight out. And I think that people who are just sort of trusting that this ring means the same thing to both of us.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a challenge there.
Yeah. Yeah, there can be, for sure. Expectations about what marriage is and what our duties are, and we don't discuss those, but wow, do they show up pretty quickly.
Well, even if people want to make the transition, it can still be really difficult, right? Like you'd mentioned before, the attachment issues that you had that we weren't manifesting because of the structure around monogamous relationships and the societal support that exists for monogamous relationships, all of a sudden like crash to the forefront when you start to change.
Yeah, when you transition, you lose a lot of societal cultural privileges, right? And there sort of isn't really a roadmap of like, well, we all have know the roadmap of monogamy, you know, it's called the relationship escalator, right? And yet how do we do that in non-monogamy is still in its sort of, you know, infantile stage, infancy.
There are so many ways, you know, when you were talking about that, I was imagining like sort of a, like one reason that we don't talk about it a lot is like, imagine, right? Some like corporate, you know, it's a day out from a corporate event. Oh, you bring in the wife. You hear that in society all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
Now, LGBTQ plus aside, right? I don't have a wife. I have a husband, you know, like that's one whole scenario that comes up a lot. And it's why people don't understand the whole, why you need to be super conscious with language. It turns out there's a lot of landmines that have been hitting a lot of other people for a long time. But now imagine non-monogamy. Huh. You bring in the, what would you call her? You know what I mean? Like there's
Your partners.
Multiple partners. Which of your partners are you bringing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I imagine people are still pushing back on gender identity. People are still pushing back on what we might consider sort of the basics of atypical scenarios.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this has a long time to go still before people are a lot more comfy?
It still has time to go, right? Where at least things like there has been, you know, same-sex rights that have been granted, right? In 2014, right? Same-sex marriage. It's huge, right? And it's still so new. There's still so many hurdles there, right? Around access and inclusion in just many aspects of our lives. And so non-monogamy is just not there yet, right? But it's starting, right? It's starting to build.
Nancy was saying, call them your bit on the side.
right.
Especially since there's multiple bits. So these types of relationships, they don't necessarily have to be hierarchical, right? Like sometimes there's a primary and you're protecting that relationship. And then that's sort of like, that sucks for like everybody else who gets involved, who's secondary, tertiary, or just the other one.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's that way to do it. Some people say, I'm not going to do a hierarchical structure here. All of my partners are different, but kind of equal in my life in some way. Right. And some people, you know, they identify as solo polyamory, where they're not doing the pure couple thing with people and they have their partners are not necessarily living with them or entwining their finances with them. So there's many different ways to do it. Yeah. And it's not always a married couple with people on the side.
It was very rewarding in the book when I read that part about solo polyamory. I never heard that term. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I didn't want to identify myself as single because single still has this weird connotation that I'm trying to make myself not single. And I'm not.
You're single until you're married and the point is marriage, right?
Right. And so I've been saying I'm not single, I'm solo. And so to find it in your book, I was like, yes, got one right.
Yeah.
But it is, right after my last significant relationship broke up, I briefly put myself on those dating apps to see how much I hate myself. And it was really quick. You're like, oh, really hate myself. Okay, stop using these again. But it was amazing how all of the people sort of in my age category, at least, were like, I'm not looking to go out for a coffee date with you. I want the one. And I was like, well, that's pretty intense. Like I'm out of a 10-year relationship. I'm going to go find a new wife.
That's, first time out at the Starbucks.
Right. I mean,
can we just rent some chickens first?
Eight.
Can we try those out for 6 months, right? See how we do?
You play by chicken rules. One rooster, eight hens.
Yeah, I was thinking is eight enough? I mean, that's what they said in that old show. But no, I mean, I don't even think I have a question. It's just sort of like, that's what I think people face. But then again, I think it comes back to your point about communication. It's just, it's amazing how people don't even have the framing in their head to kind of imagine any of these sorts of things. They can't begin to have the conversation.
Yeah, and I think what you're touching on is a lot of people have sort of been questioning, challenging, even criticizing this romantic ideal that is, there's the one, and I'm the only one for you, you're the only one for me, and everything's perfect, right? And we need everything that we need with each other. And a lot of people are like, I think that's a setup. Like, I don't think this is possible. Right. And so non-monogamous folks are sort of saying, yeah, I don't think it's possible to get all of my needs from one person. And why do I have to?
Banks and governments advertise for this a lot, but there's a lot of other institutions where it doesn't matter or it doesn't benefit them. So they don't have to.
Yeah.
I had this sentence that keeps floating through my head a lot, which is that since my divorce, my relationship with my ex-wife has only gotten better.
Yeah.
You know, and I am in a great spot with her right now, which is probably because I'm solo. So I don't have any other things I have to worry about besides her and the sanctity of my children in proximity to me. Mm-hmm. Also because I'm solo, so I don't have to churn through all kinds of human emotion. I guess I wanted to talk for a second or have you comment for a second before we grab Phil and Jen about the emotional expenditure of having multiple partners, because on the one hand, it sure sounds cool. You can have sex with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But boy, there's a lot of other stuff that comes with that.
Totally. And some of it is that you get more support. You get more help with the kids, more help with practical life stuff, right? More adventures to go on. So there's a lot of gain that happens. And then, yeah, you go through a day and you're like, this partner is sick and that partner's mad at me. And like, I'm overwhelmed. Right. And so, yeah, it can be a lot of emotional time and energy. And I really coach people to say, do you have the time and resources, internal resources to do this? You know, cause yeah, if you're wanting a certain quality of relationship with people, right. It's one thing if you're doing things more casually, maybe that's not as taxing for you. But if you're having like partners where you're really engaged with, really assess whether you have the availability for it.
It's amazing how many people think that someone who is trying to identify as sexually non-monogamous, they just haven't found their own Excalibur yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the myths too, is you haven't found the one. And once you find the one, then you'll be monogamous. And that's just really not true. And I know people who they're like, I have found my perfect match and I still want difference and diversity and more partners. Yeah.
I sure love steak, but lobster is also delicious.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Skittles, you know.
Skittles, right. You know, a good Sour Patch Kids binge. All right, I'm grabbing our Phil and Jen back, Jessica. Thank you for all this conversation.
All right, thank you.
Well, we know roosters aren't monogamous. You're back with
them. They have at least eight.
Eight partners.
At least eight partners.
We only rent out two or four hens at a time, just for the record. So I don't want people to think that they are required to get eight because of the rooster hen ratio.
Got it.
Oh, right. So you've got to have the number of relationships you can manage. Makes sense.
They can't all be
right. Right. They can't all be heavily invested in that. So,
Jessica, what were you thinking when we went through this all, especially the fact that we begged you out of this show and you don't know us from anybody? Were you like, what the heck have we done here?
Right. No, I loved it. I loved it.
Well, she's not going to tell you she hated it. She'll wait until after and tell everybody else. She'll tell all her metamors that she hated it. Yeah, she hated it. But there's also different roles people play in your life, right? So the same way that at work you have like the friend you depend on when you have a project to do, and then you have the person that you call when you just need to vent, and then, you know, somebody else who can lighten things up. That's the same, I think, in all our interpersonal relationships. We have like the friend we call for different things. So it makes sense to me. You're saying.
In a lot of other, almost every other area of life, we allow multiplicity, right? We don't think that when we have our first child, oh, I wanted the second one because the first one wasn't enough, right? That's not why we have the second one, right? Or same thing with multiple friends or our coworker partner relationships. So, yeah.
Well, in the old days, it was so they could add more farm hands to the farm.
So they could help with the chickens.
Right.
I've definitely thought if I had my second one first, it might have been my only one.
Yeah.
A lot of work involved sometimes. But so when you're doing this raise the chickens thing, I'm thinking about it from a parent perspective. Like, it could be great for kind of homeschooling to teach the kids animal husbandry and stuff. Mm. But you have a job also. So, like, how committed to these chickens do I have to be? How intense is the commitment.
Is it monogamy, would you say?
Yeah. Do you need to just raise chickens or can I do other things? Like,
we make it so easy, right? So this coop that we provide is a portable coop. It just needs moved, like a wheelbarrow, right? The chickens need us an allotment of food for the day. They need water for the day. And then later in the day, they collect their egg. The eggs are collected, right? So minutes. It really is minutes.
Just a few minutes.
As a minimum. People find that they enjoy it so much. They want to let the chickens out of the coop. And that question was asked earlier. If someone lets the chickens out, we want them to be out there with them to keep them extra safe. Like a hawk really wants chicken for lunch. Yes. So if a human is out there, it will help deter the hawk. And if the renter always put the chickens back in the coop when it's time for them to go inside, then they will never forget to lock the coop up at night, which is when the rest of the predators come out to have chicken for dinner, right? And so it's minimal.
Yeah. And chickens are great. They are natural tick control. A single chicken can eat up to 80 ticks in an hour.
That's so nasty. I want to know the first chicken that was like, hey, this looks good. I'm going to try this.
Joel Saladin covers that in a lot of his talks and whatnot. Joel Saladin is a big advocate for using chickens as pest control. And thereby a rent a chicken scenario ready to go for organic farmers and whatnot who don't want to spread.
And we've spoken with Joel. He loves us. Usually when you're at an event, everybody flocks around Joel. And we went to a Mother Earth news event and we were sitting at a table and he walked out of the flock of people, came up to our table and how did he say that?
Hey, how y'all doing at Rent the Chicken? And we're like, oh, Joel. We were just kind of minding our business. We didn't know why there was a whole group of people across the way until he like came out of the flock. Right. And so, so he really does love Rent the Chicken and we really enjoy what he's doing out there. And so, he talks us in there's talk sometimes. Yeah, it's great.
That's important. Listen, we have two like mechanical things we have to do for the rest of the show. Here's one of them.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I feel like I'm encouraging this, but Chip Griffin. Better to be punny than puny.
Eggs,
which goes with the Jessica conversation. You know, you don't want to be puny. Okay, sorry. I just did that, but
I know you did. You did, and actually, you deserve a yellow card
I
for that.
I do not. So do. You don't even
yellow card, Brogan. Yeah, I'm about to cut your mic off.
Yep.
You see how that goes.
Don't expect me to feel bad for you because I don't.
Sometimes I cannot win, lassies. All right, we have.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you. She's like, you're doing a really good job connecting themes across guests. Are you
chicken
mocking
non-monogamy
me?
That's what I thought about. All right, one question that goes to every single guest ever on the Backpack Show. We've asked this question to Sister Ann Flanagan, our nun friend, who would have had a great time today, and also to Sir Mix-a-Lot and everybody else we've ever had on the show, which is, what goes in your backpack? Now, this can be something physical, like an egg. It can be something metaphorical, like hope for the future. I will ask Phil and Jen, I guess you get to have one each. What either physical or metaphorical thing do you want to add to the backpack? But Carrie, can you give them an example? What's a good physical thing to throw in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. You never know. Or a metaphorical thing to add to a backpack?
Kindness.
This show runs on kindness. Mm. Jen and Phil from rentthechicken.com. Tell us a little bit about what should go in your backpack. Phil, you go first. Ladies first around here.
I think I want to put some humor in my backpack because, you know, if you can make people laugh and happy and all of that, that's just makes the world a better place.
And really what, you know, chickens are rubber chickens. Think about it.
Even regular chickens have a whole pile of personality. They are so funny. They're busy. They're taking care of work and they're making things happen. And we call it chicken TV.
Nancy's not laughing at you. She's laughing at me because I say kindness every time.
We use kindness because of a unfortunate event that happened at another episode. Where
you hush your mouth.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Okay. Jen, what goes in the backpack for you?
Kindness is a good one, but I think that I really thought that Phil was going to say like his ideas are coming with us. He told me one day, listen, I want you to know I only tell you like one out of every 100 ideas that I have. Oh, I'm glad because I get tired with those, that one that comes my way. I can't imagine, you know, all that other. So I think that, oh, I don't know. Humor is great and kindness is great. And I'm going to go with kindness. Carrie, you're the best, okay. Right? So I think that.
I am.
I think we're not kind enough. I really, and I know that sometimes my words aren't always kind, but I try my best. And I do think if we just kind of step back and we just recognize that, like, there's a paradigm shift. Like, you don't know what's going on in someone else's life. And if we just, like, put the cart back or not throw your trash out the window or say kind things to the person that's helping you, you know, like, all those things, we can really grow all as a society to make that happen.
Oh, Jen,
again,
that's right.
Not always perfect at this. And I, like, say not great things sometimes. And then I'm like, oh, that wasn't very kind. What was I thinking? And so I have to eat my words.
You're so right. So what happened was that the first time kindness was brought to the backpack on the show, it was by our second guest. And the first guest had said, what do I want in my backpack? Black women. Because she runs Buy From a Black Woman.
Right, Buy From a Black Woman.
And it's like a network. And she met her network, but she immediately realized what she had said. And we're like, then, you know,
she wanted to make a bag full of black women. It sounds like a trafficking scenario.
So then we come around to our second guest, and I said, no, you are not allowed to say white women, because she was a white woman, a burlesque performer, Ariel Helvetica. And so she said kindness, and we're like keeping it together. And then we couldn't. The other girl made a face, I made a face, and we were like, pfft. So I was gone.
And then I set the scenario. A beautiful, lovely woman, a very nice woman, says, I think kindness should go in the backpack. And this one... And Nikki Porsche, who's down here somewhere, laughed their head off in her face.
Not because of her answer. It was holdover. It was holdover.
Her, right? It just looked really rude.
So now I say kindness every day. It's like atonement.
I can try to make up for the fact that you laughed real hard at the lady. Well,
it felt so bad. I said,
Phil, I'm sorry.
So
you
sorry.
Had something you wanted to add, Phil.
He added humor.
Homestead Jen did have a situation where she was on the phone one day. And of course we hatch chickens, and there's black chickens and there's gold chickens. Mm-hmm. And how did you put that?
Oh, the renter was like, no, I think I'd like more black chicks. And I was like, oh yeah, we can get you some more black chicks. I'm like, in a public place. And I say, yeah, get you some more black chicks. No problem.
Now the FBI is outside.
So now you think I'm madam.
I don't know, Jessica.
No,
what a mess. See,
Jessica
this
Fern,
is...
bring us home. What would you add to the backpack?
I love it. Well, because in my book, I'm going to have to say secure attachment in your relationships and secure attachment with yourself.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Secure attachment in your relationships. Sure. I think it's great. I think it's great.
A lot of people don't know who they are, though. That's such a valid point. Like, mm-hmm. You have to be securely attached to yourself, or you can't have a relationship with other people.
It's hard.
If you're not your own first primary, you're kind of a doomed soul in a relationship anyway. My grandmother has a crazy relationship with animals. My Aunt Jane had a horse place where she kept horses for dressage. She had a little stable. And the horses somehow they knew my grandmother didn't get on really well with animals, so they would do more mean things to her than any other humans. She also had a very special magic with birds. And the magic came out especially with flying birds, especially when my Grammy would point. And you can maybe guess what happened.